Just because men make Bitcoin seem technical and complicated doesn't mean that it is. Think about it. As that TikTok audio goes.
And I said, well, how hard can it be? Boys do it. And then I said, how hard can it be? Boys do it.
This series will compare Bitcoin and its processes to things you use in your everyday life, like purses, Uber, checks, and even Costco. Everyone can understand how it works and what it does, because Bitcoin isn't just for the bros, it's for the broads. Bitcoin for Broads Part 3, What Makes Bitcoin Different from Other Cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin is the original cryptocurrency. Not only is it the very first cryptocurrency, it's also the first currency in history to have a 0% inflation rate. But that's not all. Bitcoin also created the first consensus mechanism. When founder Satoshi Nakamoto developed it in 2008, it started the cryptocurrency revolution. You may be asking, what is a consensus mechanism anyway? Well, good question. It's essentially a framework that keeps transactions secure when dealing with digital currency. There are 8 different types of consensus mechanisms available today: proof of work, proof of stake, delegated proof of stake, proof of capacity, proof of elapsed time, proof of identity, proof of authority, and proof of activity. We're going to talk about the first two, proof of work and proof of stake, since these are the two most widely used consensus mechanisms. Proof of work was created by and still used by Bitcoin. It is the most common consensus mechanism used and is also employed by less popular cryptocurrencies like Dogecoin and Litecoin. This model validates transactions and then adds them to the blockchain. The key characteristic is that proof of work makes the task very difficult. Remember that hash algorithm from the previous episode? It's that complex math problem that miners have to solve before adding a transaction to that blockchain. This proof of work model was a novel concept when it was developed. It solved the problem of how to keep crooks from messing with transactions or stealing. Since transactions inside one block are interconnected, a crook would need to redo all the other transactions in that block to change even one of them. That would require a lot of mining, which means a lot of electricity cost and a lot of high-powered, expensive computer equipment. These high costs disincentivize hackers from altering transactions. And this is the proof-of-work model in action. However, miners who verify transactions will get a small reward in the end. That's where the term mining comes from. They are literally mining new Bitcoin into existence as their payment. Once all 21 million Bitcoins are mined, that's it. Nothing's left. Miners will then be paid by transaction fees. Because remember, the key concept of cryptocurrency is to keep money decentralized so there's no inflation. Now, that was a brief overview of the last two episodes, and it shows you how that proof-of-work model plays out in real time. Proof of stake. Ethereum is the second most popular cryptocurrency. It originally started off with a proof-of-work model, but then switched to proof of stake. Other popular cryptocurrencies using this model are Cardano, Polkadot, Cosmos, and Tezos. Proof of stake uses rich people's money. Here's how it works. Participants volunteer to verify transactions for the blockchains. Instead of math problems and miners, the proof-of-stake model has participants put their crypto coins up as collateral if they want to validate any transactions. Their money is then locked in place until it's complete. If the participant tries to defraud the system, they could lose part or all of the crypto they put up as collateral. Validators are also used on the back end to double-check the person who verified the original transaction. So why does any of this matter if it's all cryptocurrency anyway? Well, it all depends on what you're comfortable with. Just like the stock market, certain investments have different risks and different rewards. Proof of work is decentralized completely, relying on anyone with computing power to verify transactions. Critics are quick to point out the mass amount of electricity this model requires. Thus, it's bad for the environment. On the other hand, proof of stake does not require complicated math. Instead, that collateral, putting up their cryptocurrency coins, replaces that complicated math. This marks proof of stake as being more energy efficient, thus environmentally friendly. Critics say this method favors the rich because the more you have to put up, the more likely you will be selected to verify a transaction. Thus, this makes it less decentralized as wealthier individuals have more influence over the network. However, proponents say this model is more secure because those verifying it have everything to lose and nothing to gain. In the last episode, I mentioned a 51% problem. This is when someone verifies so many transactions that they have taken over more than half the network, more than half of the blockchains. This would be fruitless on both models. In proof of work, which is Bitcoin, when this was discovered, the value of it would drop to zero for everyone with Bitcoin. The hacker or thief would gain nothing and have already spent millions and millions on electricity and computer equipment. In the proof of stake model, which is Ethereum, the individual verifying transactions wouldn't be out massive electricity costs. However, they would lose all the crypto coins they put up as collateral when they're caught degrading the network. For both models, the mere attempt of a 51% attack would take billions and billions of dollars. Plus, they would lose either all their crypto or lose all the electricity costs they spent. It's just not worth the risk, and therefore makes it as impossible as it is improbable. To recap, think of Bitcoin as like a big, sexy sports car. Classic, reliable, it's been around some time, looks good, works great, has the longest track record. However, it's horrible for the environment. It really guzzles that gas. Then you have proof-of-stake models like Ethereum. It's a Prius with great gas mileage, making it environmentally conscious. Simply put, Ethereum is the hippie, tree-hugging cousin of Bitcoin. If you're really into cryptocurrency, you might enjoy learning about the other six types of consensus mechanisms, but it's far too long and involved for this podcast. While cryptos are similar, the consensus mechanism is what distinguishes them. Each model is trying to reinvent the mousetrap. These models are trying to balance three main things: who can improve the environmental impact while maintaining security and also keeping things decentralized. What you choose is merely preference. Just make sure you know what you're investing in. Tune in next week for part four of Bitcoin for Broads, the future of Bitcoin. And don't forget to mark your calendars for July 25th to 27th. Ladies Love Politics will be attending the Bitcoin Conference in Nashville, Tennessee. Join me online as I cover the event, or grab a ticket and see for yourself the wonderful world of Bitcoin. Ladies Love Politics is a proud media partner of Bitcoin 2024.